I've walked a thousand times back and forth on the road that leads from work to home. I've been a million places, I've seen a ton of faces, but no love and no reason to live. Then one day, someone told me about a better life. I met the man, I took his hand, now I'm alive, now I'm free. In this loving family, yes, I know this is where I wanna serve my Lord. I will find the others who are lost and covered by the blinding ways of the world. I see now that there's more, there's a better life. I have reason now, I can hold it in, I wanna scream it out, now I'm free.
Called out of the rain, hoping to feel the warmth. we are Friday Night Live here tonight on this last Friday of the month of January 2024. I want to welcome you tonight to be part of this live broadcast, live service on the radio tonight, and pray that you'd be blessed and encouraged by it, and that you would be lifted up in Jesus and learn some things too, and grow in grace and truth. So let's get into some news here as we start out today. A lot of stuff going on this week, but I'll just give you a little bit of it. Yeah, just a little bit. I can't give you a total rundown. There's just so much going on. But anyway, the standoff between the federal and the state heats up over Texas border. That's right. The Dems are pressuring Biden to federalize the Texas National Guard to stop Governor Abbott's border security. Well, the governor said he's already declared an invasion to invoke Texas's constitutional authority to defend and protect itself. So, while we're seeing in other parts of the country, Boston and Chicago, blue cities, are starting to turn major airports into illegal aliens shelters. Huh. Wow, what a time we're living in, all this thing going on here. We see here in WHO, World Health Organization, the chief of WHO states that their nefarious agenda, he tells people what their nefarious agenda is. Nations must counteract conservative opposition to abortion and promote transgenderism. Well, there's some weird people working at WHO, right, in charge of WHO. What kind of World Health Organization is that? Or is it a World Something Else organization? Well, Governor DeSantis drops out of the Republican primary run for president and makes a surprise endorsement of President Donald Trump, if you haven't heard that, and says that we can't go back to the old Republican guard of yesterday, a repackaged form of warmed-over corporatism that Nikki Haley represents. So he's definitely not for Nikki Haley. He recognizes what she's about. And she's definitely rhino in bed with the Democrats and all kinds of compromise. Alaska Airlines fires Christian flight attendants, and has made it clear that any employee who holds Christian beliefs is going to have to stay silent if they want to keep their job. Okay. Yeah, and we see Christian Family Radio, all of their stations have dropped Alistair Begg's, which a lot of people have heard him. I've heard him on the radio before. He's been on radio for years, after he advises Christians, telling them to attend same-sex weddings to build bridges with the culture at large. And he's just staying behind it, even though, you know, American Family Radio dropped him, which has lots of channels across the United States. And I'm sorry, buddy. I don't think that we need to put our approval on uncleanness and perversion and that which the Bible prohibits. So, yeah, I don't think so. Well, what is this? We have this Amazon Prime rolling out an adult cartoon series, Sympathetic to Lucifer, depicting God's angels as heartless, full of profanity and depraved sex acts. And so what a disgusting thing. I guess it's, you're lost and you want to watch it. That's your business. But, man, sure wouldn't recommend Amazon Prime to Christians. That's for sure. A Missouri Christian school teacher arrested for trying to kill her husband. She mixed poison into his smoothie drink, trying to kill him, and it didn't kill him. And so she got arrested, and yeah, that's real good testimony for a Christian school teacher, huh? Yeah. Well, you know what? This is kind of alarming, but in a recent survey by Public Research Institute, I don't know that organization, but anyway, they found that 25% of Gen Z, those born between 1997 and 2012, now identify as LGBTQ. Wow. That figure is notably higher than previous generations, with only 16% of millennials identifying as LGBTQ, and 7% Generation X, and 4% of baby boomers. Well, if that's an accurate survey, that's a big change, and that's big trouble for America, big problem for the United States of America, I would say. And, yeah, it's creating young people like this Wisconsin abortionist student at the medical college in Wisconsin in a blatant tantrum in a group meeting of legislators. She, I think that's who they were, declares that she will leave the state if barred from aborting full-term babies. Well, poor baby, and that's poor baby for sure if she gets in there. We don't need that kind of doctors. We don't need that kind of people who, you know, going to throw a fit if they can't abort full-term babies. That's pretty serious stuff there. I mean, you know, a baby that's full-term, going to just kill it? And something's wrong. This person looked demon-possessed in the picture. And by the way, there's a lot of, we'll have to clear that one up, too, in a minute. Some people are misinterpreting the word possess in the King James, and it's diamondzomai. That means under the influence of a demon. And they're saying that, of course, a Christian cannot be fully possessed. I'm saying that. A Christian cannot be fully possessed of a devil. But they're saying weird stuff, like exorcism is only for someone who's fully possessed, and a Christian can't be fully possessed, which I agree. Christian can't be fully possessed, but he doesn't need exorcism at any time. Exorcism is a type of deliverance done by potions and holy water, different incantations. It's something that Christian doesn't practice exorcism. I'm not an exorcist, but I do cast out demons. I'm a deliverance minister. I cast out demons. Okay, but I'm not an exorcist, and no Christian should be an exorcist. Remember, the only exorcists in the Bible were these Jewish exorcists that went in and tried to cast out demons by the in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. They weren't even born again. See, this exorcism is something that a born-again person will not practice, because we don't use incantations and holy water and all that foolishness that people who claim to be exorcists and perform exorcisms do. No. So there's some, I mean, and some Christians are teaching that we do exorcism. Really, come on. You need to know things a little better than that. I mean, really, you need to do some more steady work. I mean, some of these new, young deliverance people who are getting into deliverance, I heard one of them teach, well, not all Christians have demons. You know, just some Christians have demons, and that's just in some cases. Well, no, that's not true. Everybody sinned and falls short of glory of God. Everybody has demons. Everybody needs deliverance. I don't know where these people are getting their doctrine from, but it's certainly not, the doctrine of experience, the doctrine of the Word of God. They're missing some things there. Anyway, that's another story. Not going to get into that right this moment. We're going to get into, let's see. We're going to pray and get into the Word of God. How about that? Amen. I'm ready to do that if you're ready to hear it and ready to participate in it. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll just get into God's word for tonight and see what he has to say to us. Amen. Amen. All right, Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you in faith, in expectation of what you will do and what you are going to do in people's lives and our lives, and Lord, the deliverance and the healing that will take place and have taken place. We We want to thank you for those that have taken place. We want to thank you for those that will take place. And we thank you that you are the Mighty One, the Holy One of Israel, the Deliverer, the Healer. Lord, you're the one who has it all in your hands. And Father, you're taking care of us, and you're taking good care of us, and we give you the glory for that. And we thank you for doing that right now. And we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share the word. We thank you for your anointing, your presence, your power, your glory, your goodness here, your grace, that you will give us a good word tonight by the power of your anointing and your Holy Spirit today, Father. And we pray for people that are listening, that do listen, whether they're listening now, later, whenever they listen, that you would touch them physically in their body if they have a need for healing. Father, we rebuke sickness and disease in their body, command it to go in the name of Jesus. Thank you for touching them physically, delivering them from any spirits of sickness and infirmity. We command them to go in the name of Jesus. As we know, the root of sickness is the devil and evil and sin and darkness. And we rebuke that in Jesus' name. Thank you for health and healing in people now, today, in Jesus' name. Thank you for deliverance for people as well. Thank you, Lord, for spiritual insight and spiritual understanding. For we're living in a confused world that don't understand so many things about, you know, the times we live in and the future and of what's going to happen shortly in the earth. And even now it's beginning to happen. So, Father, we pray for people's eyes of their understanding to be opened. Thank you for granting understanding, granting truth to people so that they can see and get born again. And Lord, we pray for a person who has cancer and has not been born again to my knowledge. And I pray for their salvation to come to them, Father, Lord, that they will get born again. They will receive Jesus into their spirit and get born again, Father. We thank you for their salvation. And Lord, we pray for another lady that with cancer. This was a man, this lady. We pray for them. They're in pain, and thank you for, we rebuke the pain. We rebuke the cancer. We pray for healing and health in their body, Father, in the name of Jesus. We command this cancer to go and speak health and healing to their physical body now in the name of Jesus. Thank you that you are the healer. You are the deliverer, Lord, and you will touch this lady. In Jesus' name we pray that you would do that for your glory and heal her. And we thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, Lord, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. And Lord, we just cover the broadcast with the blood of Jesus tonight. Thank you that you have your way tonight in Jesus' name, and that you would deliver people as well after the message, even during the message. We praise you for it, give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. All right, let's get into a word tonight. What's the title? How many know what the title is? You know what the title is? The hard way or the easy way? The hard way or the easy way? Which way do you want to go? Well, let's talk about the beginning of our walk. Righteousness comes immediately with salvation. When you get born again, you put on the righteousness of God. You put on the robe of righteousness. You become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's a work of grace. Okay? It's not something you could earn. And also, we also have sanctification take place. We are sanctified. We are set apart to God. Even though sanctification is also a lifelong process, we are saved and we are made righteous when we believe. Even though our life may be a real mess, how many know, you know, most all of our lives were a real mess when we first got born again, or we probably wouldn't have ended up getting born again in the first place. But we realized we needed a Savior. We needed help. We were desperate. I know I was a mess when I got born again. I recognized I needed a Savior. I needed God to help me because I couldn't do it, you know. And some people teach, well, we're saved and righteous, so we could just live any way we want to. Well, where to get stuff like that? That's not what the Bible teaches at all. And so many people don't know what the Bible teaches. They come up with their own doctrines, their own false doctrines, actually. Right. And what does it say here in Romans 6:1? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, God forbid. It says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? No, we don't just live any way we want to. If you do, you'll have a new truckload of demons to go with the ones you already have, right? If you start living any way you want to, after you just living in sin after you get born again because you got saved, because you got Jesus now? No, chapter 6 gives us the right way to sanctification and the crucified life, and chapter 7 shows us some of the wrong ways. And so I want to look at a few minutes tonight at the right way to live the process of sanctification or the set-apart life and the wrong way, okay? We're going to look at that here for a little bit, and then we'll get into some other things. But no, when you get born again, you're a new creature in Christ, and you begin to God began to do his work of sanctification and change in our lives if we'll yield to it. And I know that not every Christian wants to yield to it. When they get born again, they still cling to their old ways. And they need deliverance. Everybody needs deliverance. Every new Christian needs deliverance. Don't tell me that, just some people need deliverance. No, every new Christian needs deliverance. Every Christian needs deliverance. It's a process. Deliverance is not an instantaneous, I'm all done now. I had deliverance once. No, it's a process and a progressive thing that goes on throughout your Christian life. Because right when you're born again, you're only ready to get rid of so many demons. And as you grow in grace, then you get ready to get rid of some more demons. And as you continue to grow, you get ready to get rid of some more that you weren't ready to get rid of when you first got born again because you weren't ready. You weren't out of agreement with them. You hadn't come to the place where you hated that evil. You still had, desires and things that were wanting that. See, and you have to get to the place where you really want to get out of agreement with a demon and not, in alignment with them any longer, see, if you're really going to get free of that particular demon. So a lot of people are not there yet, that's for sure. A lot of people have a lot of rebellion in them still, a lot of control in their life where they want to be in control, a lot of self-centeredness, a lot of pride, we'll talk about pride tonight a little bit too, by the way. But anyway, let's go ahead and look at these wrong and right ways to continue in the process of sanctification and deliverance and growth in grace and God. And the wrong way is going under the law. People try to keep the law to be sanctified, to make themselves holy. Paul said no man could be righteous, become righteous or justified by keeping the law. He said, if you start trying to keep the law to be righteous, you're falling from grace in Galatians. I mean, the Jews couldn't even keep the Ten Commandments, and we can't either keep them perfectly. And law is a ministration of death according to the Word of God. What it says about those who want to keep the law, they're trying to keep a ministration of death, and really it doesn't work, my friends. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:6. Who has made us, see, that's what happened when we got born again. He made us, and let's read verse 5 too, because once we become born again, we recognize that we should recognize that not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. See, when you get born again, you're not self-sufficient anymore. Your sufficiency is of God, see? Who also made us. See, God made us a new creation. He made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter of the law, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of the countenance of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. Well, you're talking about the Ten Commandments right there, the ministration of death. That's what it is. doesn't bring life. For verse 9, for if the ministration of condemnation, it's also a ministration of condemnation, be glory, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. So if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. The new covenant remaineth. Okay? The old covenant under the law no longer, it says right here, it's done away with as being a means of righteousness any longer. Now, granted, the Ten Commandments, by them we have knowledge of sin, so they're not going to pass away, because by the law we have knowledge that we are filthy sinners and that we have all fallen short of the glory of God, right, before we're Christians. So, but recognize, okay, the law is a ministration of death. It's not made for a righteous person. The law does not bring a person hope. It makes them hopeless. And the law makes you miserable and guilty and ashamed and condemned. And that's why religious people who try to keep the law, many times they're mean people. They're not friendly, nice people, because they've been trying to keep the law and they're not able to do it and they're failing. And, yeah, they're miserable. Look at Romans 7. Let's go over there. Verse 4, wherefore, my brethren, ye also have become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now ye are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Okay? So we're delivered from the law, being born again, see? But a lot of Christians, they just go right back under the law. They just don't. Just like the Galatians did, they got saved by grace through faith, and then they went back under the law, and Paul had to call them up, oh, foolish Galatians, who have done this work of bewitchment on you? You know? He said they were bewitched by going back under the law. The law is a ministration of misery for many people, really, if they try to go back under that law. It's useless for churches and ministers to lay down rules and say, you must do this and you cannot do that. And it's no good, you know, saying, thou shalt not dance, or thou shalt not go to this bar, or thou shalt not go to the movies, or wear makeup, and don't do this. Sanctification can't come that way. People who preach on sin all the time are going to produce a lot of sin in the people's lives that hear their preaching, okay? Because there's only one way for sanctification to come, and it is by faith through grace that you reckon yourself dead to sin. See, that's the right way. Look at Romans 6:11. Romans 6:11, it tells us the right way for sanctification in chapter 6. If you read it, you'll understand. Likewise, reckon ye also, or consider ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is how we overcome. This is how we walk in sanctification, the process of sanctification. Then we'll come forth clean and holy lives, you know, that are not worldly and that are not based on the world system of darkness. See? And there are three important parts of the crucified life, of the sanctified life. And they all come out of grace and truth, which came by Jesus Christ, right? It didn't come by the law. It came by Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John chapter 1, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law came by Moses. And so what's the first one we're going to look at? Three important parts of the crucified life. It's sanctified life. It's consecration. Look at Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, so what do we see here? Notice it says, I beseech you. That's the method of the gospel of grace. What would the law say? I command you to obey this, you know. But now it's, I beseech you. We're now out from under the law. For Christ is the end of the law. We're outside the law entirely. And brethren, he is talking to the saved. Notice he said, brethren. Here he says it right here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. He's talking to the saved, not to the lost. For Christ is the end of the law. Okay? So brethren, he's talking to. Talking to the born-again people. This chapter is for Christians. And you need to remember, you can't take the Christian rule of life and apply it to a non-Christian. Okay? It doesn't work. It's spiritual. It's a spiritual impossibility because the Christian life is a spiritual life. You are born again spirit. And the Bible says flesh and blood does not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, I heard this deliverance minister listen to a little thing. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I think he's confused. But our demons of confusion are ministering to him. He says if you try to cast a demon out and it doesn't come out, then you need to fast and pray. And if you fast and pray, it's just the flesh. That's all that is that's left there. It's just the flesh. If after you fast and pray and you try to cast out, still nothing comes out. It's just the flesh. Well, that's ignorant teaching, okay? Because so the Bible says Paul said, in my own flesh dwelleth no good thing. So don't tell me that. The flesh is full of demons. Of course it's the flesh. It's the flesh full of demons. And you can still cast it out, okay? It's just that people have to hate their demons. And a lot of people, they aren't out of agreement. They don't hate their demon. So how is the demon going to come out? If you even fast and pray for them. You can fast and pray the person themselves. They can fast and pray for their deliverance. But if they're still in agreement, if their flesh is in agreement, their desire is to keep on allowing this demon to manifest in their life and have its way with them, and they're not yet out of agreement with those spirits, then believe me, no amount of fasting and prayer is going to get the demon out when they don't want it out, because we have a will, we have a choice, and we can choose to keep our demon. Or we could be ignorantly holding on to our demons, and that's why no deliverance is seen sometimes, because people are holding on to their demon. So really, that's ignorant to say that if you try to cast the demon and it don't come out, then and you fast and pray and it still don't come out, it's just your flesh. That's all it is. There's no demons there at all. It's just flesh. That's what they're trying to teach people. And they're teaching people wrong. They're teaching people confusing doctrines that are going to make them think, oh, I don't have any demon. That was just my flesh. And, oh, I just need to crucify my flesh. No. Well, that's not what Paul said about his flesh. He said, no good thing dwelleth in my flesh. It dwells there. It lives there. It's alive and living in there. And it needs to be cast out. It needs to be dealt with. Okay? And so, of course, we crucify the flesh too, of course. You know, we're going to crucify the flesh. We're not going to allow it to have its way. And until those demons are cast out, we got to keep on dying to self and dying to that. But we also need to take aim at these things and get rid of them and cast them out. But anyway, that's a little sidestep there. But we're going to continue on here, okay, talking about what we're talking about. So we can't expect the world to be like a Christian, to think like us, to act like us, or even understand us. How do they understand that which is spirit and that which is not flesh? See, they're living totally in the flesh, right? And you suddenly became a spiritual being when you got born again. You're capable of understanding spiritual things. Whether you do yet or not, that could be a different story, but at least you have the capability, you know, within your spirit to understand spiritual things, okay? And the world, you can't expect that out of them. Quit putting that on them. You know, they're in gross darkness, the Bible says. We used to be in gross darkness. And they're living under the law. They live under the law until you come to Christ. You're under the law. An eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. I mean, no wonder they want revenge. You know, because that's what the nature of the law is. If you knock out somebody's eye, then they have the right to knock out one of yours under the law. But that's what the law demands. There's little grace and mercy in them unless there is something in it for them, I mean the lost person, even if it's just to appease their guilty conscience, you know, or their mental torment, that's something in them. There has to be something in it for themselves, and a lot of Christians still operate that way. They don't want nothing unless there's something in it for them, and so that's sad, but that's the way a lot are still operating because they haven't change that much since they've been born again. But being born again is about change. You start a process of change when you get born again. when you became that new creature in Christ, you started the process of change, and it continues till Jesus comes or until you go home, be with the Lord, see? Okay? So, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, okay? So, the past 11 chapters are about the mercies of God, all about what God has done, Romans 1 through 11. He's done for us, and you present. Notice it says you present. Here in chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, that you present. This is the same word appearing in chapter 6 where Paul said we died with him and we rose with him and we are to reckon it so and we are to yield, okay? Same word, okay? You present, you yield, present, okay? Yield, present, understand that. How do we yield and present? Well, you present your bodies as an act of consecration. But why does he mention body when we're spiritual beings? Where the body is the instrument of the spirit and the soul. In other words, and God gets no service except to be manifested through the body, right? The hands, the mouth, the feet. The mouth can speak things up out of your born-again spirit, right? Yeah, of course, it can, you know? And the body is the instrument of the spirit and the soul, and God, you know, he uses those things. He manifests through the body. Okay, even though he lives in the spirit, we are body, soul, and spirit. Again, that particular deliverance guy that claimed to know deliverance, which he's so young, hard that he could know so too much about it, because you know you got to have experience, man. I've been doing deliverance 40 years. You know, this guy a few, maybe 1 or 2 years. Yeah, I mean, really, he's trying to tell you. He wasn't even explaining body, soul, and spirit. He's just saying Christians can't be possessed of a devil. Well, of course he isn't possessed, but he can sure be under the control of a devil. And he was saying that you couldn't be. Okay? But see, you can because you don't understand body, soul, and spirit. Your spirit is born again. No demon's going to live in your spirit. But he's trying to tell you that they aren't going to control the other parts of you. But you have to understand we're three parts. Body, soul, and spirit, and the body's the type of the outer court, and the soul is the mind, will, and emotion is the part of the inner court, and then the spirit is the type of the Holy of Holies. That's where Jesus lived. That's where in the Old Testament temple that the presence of God was, the Ark of the Covenant. The very presence of God was there, okay? And so you have to understand, no demon's going to live where the presence of God is, right, which is in our spirit. But they get in the soul, they get in the body. Hey, if they didn't get in the soul, why would, and he tried to say that, well, if no demon's coming out, in a lot of cases, it's just mental illness. Well, what do you think mental illness is in a lot of cases, in the majority of cases? It's demons. Hello? So there's a lot of false stuff coming out of this guy who's teaching like he's a professional, and he just doesn't got it right on a lot of things. So I'm sad to see that confusion going out and people are being misled about things. It's sad to see that go on. But anyway, we have to understand body, soul, and spirit, that we are three-part, created in the image of God. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we are body, soul, and spirit. And so, it speaks here of the body, which includes the soul and the spirit, everything, the whole man, you know. The word body is a way of describing an organism in its totality. And so when we say body, we can be talking about everything that's in the body, which is the soul and the spirit as well, okay? So we could be explaining it that way so people, you know, have to understand that. So we're also to be a living sacrifice. I mean, know that. Holy. Why holy? Well, because you've been made a saint. You're a saint of God right now. The Bible said to the saints at Ephesus, to the saints, you know, and wherever, you know, as it describes Christians. So you have to recognize you've been made a saint because you have now come to him, you know, not on your own merit, not on your own ability, but his, in his blood, through his blood, so the sacrifice is considered a holy sacrifice. This is what has taken place. You're a holy sacrifice, okay? And so notice it said acceptable. He received you because it is well-pleasing to him. It is attractive to him and excites the pleasure of a holy and loving God. He has made you accepted in the blood, the Bible says, right? It says, notice, to present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, reasonable. Logical in the sense that you recognize you are bought with a price, therefore belong to the one who bought you. I belong to Jesus now. See, I've been bought with a price. And see, we need to be transformed. That means that the inner part of you, in other words, your essence that is in your spirit, you know, has been transformed and will also come out of your spirit and begin to make an external manifestation in the soul as well, which will operate through the body. And it'll show outwardly from the inside out. See, we should be showing from the inside out, don't you think? See, don't be conformed to this world, this present age, this an outward age which does not represent, you know, the new creation, the new nature that we have now, the saint that we are now in Christ Jesus. It doesn't represent that. It doesn't manifest that, the purity of the new nature. It doesn't manifest holiness. It doesn't manifest the type of relationship that we have. See, it doesn't understand that. It's foolishness to the lost people. It's foolishness to them. They have no comprehension of that. See, this age is an evil age, and it's getting more and more evil, and the Bible says they're going to get more and more wicked, more and more dark until the day of the coming of the Lord. And the Bible says that they'll be marrying and giving in marriage and buying and selling up into the day that Christ comes back in the clouds of glory. And it's an evil age, and the Bible also says that some the thoughts and intents of their heart are only evil continually, and if you conform yourself to that kind of an age, you're going to pass away with it, right? I mean, do you want to conform to that? Do you want to be a part of that age? I don't. I'm not of this world. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world, see? And you're in the world, but you should not be of the world, see? And it tells us to be ye transformed. This is not something that you're to do of your own ability. What does it say in 2 Corinthians 3:18? You don't transform yourself. Who does the transformation? But we all with open face beheld and as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we could be saying what it says is we're changed from glory to glory. We're changed, you know, as we look upon him in the glass through the Word of God, we behold the glory of God and we're changed by the Spirit of God. See? And so we need to be being changed today. If you haven't been changed lately, you're not looking into his face. You're not looking into his word very much, that's for sure, because the more you look into it, the more there's going to be change taking place in your life. See, by the Spirit of the Lord changing you, transforming you. This is a work of grace. This is a work of the Holy Spirit. And see, if you present yourself to God as a living sacrifice and behold the glory of the Lord in his word, which includes deliverance, you're going to be transformed progressively. You're going to be changed progressively. It's a process that is taking place in your life. This is the Holy Spirit's work, but it's also called for something else. It calls for cooperation on your part. That's why don't tell me, you know, that if you pray deliverance and nothing happened, and if you fast and pray and nothing happens, it's just your flesh. That's all that's there. There's no demon there. Don't tell me that lie. I don't believe that for one moment. I know that there's a bunch of demons that people are still in agreement with. There's a bunch of demons that still people want to be controlled to allow them to have place in their life. And the Bible tells us to give no place to the devil. Yet how many Christians are giving place to demons today? I know, because I've been casting demons out of people for so long now, and I see where demons have been giving place, that people have been giving place to these demons. When they come in for a deliverance session, I pick up all these demons, and some of them, they don't even know they have until, oh, yeah, I see that now. You know, how are they going to get out of agreement with something they don't even know they have, because they haven't even faced that part of their life yet, because they haven't even grown that much in the Lord? You know, a lot of people are still babes in Christ. When they ought to be eating meat, they're still sucking on the bottle and drinking milk. And God said, hey, it's time to get you some strong meat, because he says strong meat belongeth not to babes, but to those who are mature, those who are growing. And see, we need to be growing. If we've been a Christian any amount of time, we can't suck the bottle all our lives. You know what I mean? We got to take on some spiritual growth, saints. We got to get some meat going. We got to get some, you know, some heavy stuff as well. You know, as the milk, we're always going to drink milk. I mean, we're always going to desire the sincere milk of the word, but we got to go to some meat too. How many know that? Amen. Amen. So, to be willing and obedient, see, you have to have cooperation. You know, the Spirit is calling for your cooperation. To be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you're not willing and obedient, you're not going to eat the good of the land. I mean, that stands to be truth, because the opposite is true. If you refuse to be willing and obedient, what's going to happen? You're not going to eat the good of the land. You're not going to eat the good of all the promised land living that God has for you right now in the nasty now that we all live in on this planet Earth until Jesus comes. But if you refuse and rebel, it's not going to go well for you. Resist and reject the spirit of rebellion. That's what we all need to do, because all of us have had a measure of rebellion, because we've all rebelled against God to some degree in our life. See, even before Christ and as well as after Christ, we've rebelled against some of the things of God. We haven't wanted to go that direction. We haven't wanted to go that far. We haven't, you know, at times we said no, you know, when we should have been saying yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We need to get in the habit of saying yes, Lord, and no to the devil, and no to our flesh, and no to those demons that are inhabiting our flesh. See? The end result is that you may prove, that is, test out and discover and approve. The issue is the will of God for your life, and it's described in three aspects. Notice what it said, the good and the perfect, and the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. Notice the good, that's pure, because God is good, right? The good, his pure will for you is good, because God is a good God. There's none good but God, the Bible says. And so it's the good will of God, because God is good. So the will of God is good. You know, his will for you is not bad, it's good, okay? What he has planned for you, that's good, because God's a good God, right? And so he's not going to plan bad things for you. Why are so many Christians afraid to do what God wants in their lives? They're afraid of what God might tell them to do or what God might lead them into, because they think it's going to be bad, really? No, God is a good God, the good will of God, the good and acceptable and perfect, okay? So the good, it's pure because God is pure. The acceptable, that is meeting the pleasures of God, okay? And perfect, that's lacking in no area or, you know, because, hey, God is perfect, right? So what his plan is, it's a perfect plan. And if we walk in the perfect plan, then we're going to live out the perfect plan of God. But if we refuse to, we rebel, well, guess what happened? We don't live in that, okay? The good and acceptable. So a person who sees and has revelation of the mercies and the grace of God and will present himself or herself as a living sacrifice. And because of such sacrifice, such consecration, you will know the will of God. I mean, no, the God wants you to know the will of God, but not every Christian knows the will of God, because they're not willing to walk into that. Okay? They want their own will. Okay? The good. Again, God's will is always good, because God is good. And it may be hard, you know, to the mind, to the flesh, but it's always good, because God is good. So God will never put on you something that is bad, okay? Acceptable. It ought to be acceptable to you, because it is to God. So why is it a problem to you? Quit struggling with it, okay? If it's acceptable, God accepts it. It's acceptable to him. It's pleasing, acceptable to him, and perfect. Sometimes the will of God will lead you into places or circumstances that you cannot understand and you cannot see see a reason for it. And it seems like everything's gone wrong. But remember, his will is perfect, you know? You got to remember these things, because when you're going through some things, sometimes that, and when God has taken you somewhere, you know, some things you might face in there would be the enemy's resistance, and he might cause some things to try to, you know, stop the will of God to taking place, and you'll blame God for that. Don't blame God for that, because he's taking you in to his best and perfect will, acceptable, good and acceptable and perfect will, right? So, no matter how strange or difficult the situation, the way it might be, his will is a perfect will, because he knows the end from the beginning. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You know he knows. He knows what's best for you. You don't know what's best for you. If he doesn't reveal it to you, you don't know. I don't know either. Unless he reveals it to me, I don't know what's best for me. How many know that we've all done things that we thought were best for us, and they turned out to be negative for us? They turned out to be bad for us. Well, we thought, and we may have even thought God would lead him, but, you know, he wasn't sometimes, see? Sometimes we were leading ourselves, and we were justifying what we thought was the will of God. And that didn't turn out good, and then we blame God. See, we should know better than that, right? Oh, yeah. We should. So, number one, the basis of holy living is revelation knowledge. And a lot of times we don't take the time to get revelation knowledge, do we? We just take off on our own knowledge. And we need to wait on God and hear the revelation knowledge. We need to hear what he has to say, revealed by the Holy Spirit, see? And the method of holy living is consecration. We need to be fully consecrated to God, okay, and to his will. And the result of holy living is transformation. See, God's working a transformation when we walk in that, and how many know that these don't come from us? They come from a work of grace in our life. They come from the working of the Holy Spirit, see? How many know you cannot get revelation knowledge apart from the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is a revealer of truth. He's a revealer of revelation, see? So you won't know things unless the Holy Spirit reveals them to you. And how many know you can't live a consecrated, holy life without him and his empowerment and the Spirit of God, see? And so you can't be transformed without the Spirit of God working in you either. So, you know, it's all the process of the work of the Holy Spirit, see? The processing and the work of the Holy Spirit. They're all from the work of grace, not from law. That doesn't happen under the law. Deliverance is also a work of grace, too. You have to understand that deliverance is a work of grace because God calls it the children's bread. He calls deliverance the children's bread. It doesn't belong to the unbeliever. Don't give me all this poppycock about, you know, the unbelievers, you know. Yeah, they're the ones that need, you know, and believers don't need it. Why would he call it the children's bread if it belonged to the, you know, the unbeliever? That they aren't the children of God. They're lost. They're the children of Satan. You're of your father, the devil. How could they be given the children's bread? I mean, this woman was begging for the crumbs from the table of the children, right? Remember the Syrophoenician woman that had come to the Lord for deliverance for her daughter. She is begging for a little crumb from the table of the children. And Jesus said, it's not meat to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. That's another word for Gentiles. For the lost people out there, they were the Gentiles. And so he said, it's not meat to take the children's bread and give it. You know, he's talking about deliverance. Not meat to give the deliverance to a lost person. You know, the lost person, how are they going to maintain deliverance? They were trying to say, oh, well, if you do deliverance, this deliverance minister again, are trying to say, oh, if you do deliverance on a lost person, they always get saved. No, they don't. In fact, they don't keep their deliverance either, you know. And if you're doing deliverance on a lost person without their permission, you're not going to get anywhere anyway. They go cast a demon out of a lost person, they might leave for a few minutes while you're in their presence. How many know that the door is still open? They'll come back. If that person doesn't get born again and doesn't put up walls by the Spirit of God and begin to protect themselves, the spirits will come back. They have no defense. Lost people don't have defense against demons. Demons come and go freely in the lost people. So this guy was really teaching some off stuff, and I just hate to see the body of Christ misled by that. But anyway, people teach what they want nowadays, and a lot of times it's a doctrine of demons, so got to be watching out for that. So he offers to us the children's bread, a work of grace, and we see, you know, evil in manifestation all through the Bible. I mean, know that. Yeah. Even we look at Jesus' ministry, notice where that we cast out devils much of the time. Let's go to Mark chapter 1, and we just see where he started out in this dynamic ministry of deliverance and healing that Jesus had. And we'll see where he does it as well, because you need to understand some things. You know, if it's the children of bread, where is Jesus going to be casting out demons? Where do you think? Look at chapter 1, verse 39. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. Where did he do it? In the synagogue, the church. The church, the church. Let's look at another instance here. If it's the children's bread, why would he be just casting devils out of all the unbelievers out there? No, he's doing it for the believers, those who supposedly believed in God. He went into their churches and began to cast out devils, right? And so the people in the churches had lots of devils then, and they have lots of devils now. So don't tell me people in today's churches don't have lots of devils also. Look at Mark 1:23. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. Where was he? He was in church. Man with an unclean spirit in church, right? So the unclean spirit saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee? Oh, demons talking to through somebody in church. Have you ever had that happen, Pastor Kyle? A number of times. Yeah, number of times. Over the years, lots of times. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed insomuch that they had questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commanded he even the unclean spirits, that they do obey him. And immediately, what happened? What made Jesus famous? His fame spread abroad throughout all the region about Galilee, round about Galilee, because of deliverance ministry, because of casting out demons in the church. His fame spread all throughout the area. Notice that. Notice that. See, you see that? Again, it's very clear. Where? The church, the synagogue, spirits, even talking through the man, tearing him and screaming through the man, all in church. And we've seen it too in church for decades now. Also, Jesus casting out devils with authority immediately spread his fame. Right. Where? Throughout the whole region. Deliverance got their attention, and deliverance will get people's attention today too, of course. And many people will come against deliverance as well. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. But people who need deliverance might turn against a person who does deliverance because what's in them doesn't want to be cast out because it's a spiritual thing. I mean, know that, right? If somebody's walking around casting out demons, then people with demons are going to attack the person who's going around, you know, doing the deliverance because, man, look out, because I don't want to be cast out. The demon says, I've got a cozy home here. It's home to them. I don't want to come out of here. I don't want to be cast out. So demons are comfy there. It's their home. So they turn their host, right, that person whom they have control over, against anyone who may possibly cast them out. Anyone who does deliverance is a potential threat to the demons, to their little comfy home there, being able to live out their, you know, dark personalities, their dark entities. They don't want to leave. They don't have any intentions of leaving. They plan to be there till death do us part, right? They're married to that person till death do us part, unless they're forcibly removed through the ministry of deliverance. They're not going anywhere. Right? They don't want to go anywhere. Why would they? They're able to have control, and they got a comfy little home in there, and they can manifest when they want to manifest and get away with it and not be questioned, especially if the Christian doesn't believe that a Christian can have a demon. Well, I don't believe a Christian can have a demon. Well, where did you get that information from? It didn't come from the Bible. Well, I'll tell you where you got it from. You got it from a demon. Okay? And a false teaching. Right? Because God sure doesn't give you that kind of information. Okay? You know, of course, demons fear losing their house. How many know they dreadfully fear that? I mean, they're in dread of losing their house because of that, they can strike through an individual ferociously. And I know because I've been struck ferociously so many times over the last 40 years, you know, by any perceived threat, you know, such as a deliverance person. Somebody who recognizes them and their presence in the person, and so they'll strike out any way they can. And I've had ministers strike out against many ministers, many pastors who didn't believe Christian can have demons. They've struck out against us over the years, certainly. I'm in good company because they sure picked on Jesus. They told him he was casting out devils by the devil himself. By Beelzebub, they said, you cast out devils by Beelzebub. You don't do it of God. You're not of God. Blah, 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 blah. And people have said that, of course, about deliverance ministers today, true deliverance ministers. They say that, oh, that's just witchcraft. That's not right. That's, come on. Jesus did it. It's good enough for me. Jesus said, in my name you shall cast out devils, right? That's what he said in Mark chapter 16. All right. Someone who recognizes them, they're afraid of them, okay? Demons want to hide and continue to live out their personalities and their nature, their dark nature, through the human host. And if you know about deliverance and you have or plan to cast out demons, guess what? You're a threat to those demons and the people, and the demons don't know if you will cast them out or not. See, that's why they attack many times, because they know you cast out devils, and so they'll attack just because they're around you and they're afraid you might turn around and start casting them out. They don't know what you're going to do, because, you know, the wind blows, talks about the Spirit of God, the wind blows where it listeth, you know, where it wants to, and they're just not sure about you. They don't know what you might do. They have some ideas because they also followed you. You have your demons, and they follow, those demons have followed you all your life, and they kind of sometimes know what you might do, but how many know they can't read your spirit? They might could read your mind some, because, you know, they're attached to the mind, but they can't read your spirit. The Spirit of God lives there. They cannot read what's going on in there, whether the Holy Spirit is telling you, cast demons out of that person. They can't read that. You know, they don't know what's going to happen. So they feel you're a big threat to them. So they will turn and attack you and persecute you, even saying, you know, a lot of Christians, you know, are deceived into thinking, you know, they'll say what a lot of Christians are deceived into thinking is that a Christian cannot have a demon, which is a false belief. A convenient one for the demons, though, because this is exactly what the demons want every Christian to believe, that a Christian can't have a demon. Because if a Christian believes they can't have a demon, how many know that those demons have a right to stay there? Because after all, they don't believe I'm there, so I can continue to do my dirty work. Oh yeah, keep on doing my dirty work till they die. Yeah, because after all, they don't believe I'm in there. See? Oh yeah, they just keep on doing it because hey, you don't believe it. And that's right where they want you, because if you don't believe you have any demons, then you justify your own actions, you know, that it sure isn't a demon. I know I don't have to get rid of any demons. It's just me. That's just the way I am. No. Why are you the way you are? There's reasons that you are the way you are. Generational curses, spirits that are inhabiting you, spirits that are attached to you, like a parasite eating away on you. You know, come on, really. And so that belief ensures their security and their ability to stay in the host all the host life, and also to go into their children and their children's children, if they have any, to keep in the family, their familiar spirit, their family line spirit. They like to stay in the family and keep on doing their dirty work in the family. Yeah, to keep the bondage going on and on and on. So the greatest resistance to deliverance, well, it had been the church and the leaders, who themselves have demons who don't want to leave their cozy home. You know, those demons in the leaders who have demons, and those demons don't want to leave their cozy little home in there. See? And so the leaders, the pastors, the evangelists, you know, even the apostles that don't believe a Christian can have demons out there. So that's right where the devil wants them. Yeah, so they can keep their little cozy house. They can keep on living in there. Religious people and even Christians who have demons, who, of course, don't want to be cast out and will do anything in their power. How many of demons will do anything in their power to keep their houses to themselves? Because that's what they call it in the Bible. This is my house, and, you know, I'll go back with seven more if I get cast out, and I'll go back and find it clean and swept. Oh, yeah, it's clean and swept, but is it filled? You got to fill it up with the Word of God if you're going to keep the demons out, right? So that's why some Christians, they just pick up demons again, because they clean, you know, they get clean and swept up in a deliverance session, but they don't fill their houses afterward. They don't go and fill themselves up with the Word of God and the opposite of what that spirit was doing in their life. Like if it was lust, they fill themselves with moral purity and scriptures on moral purity, and or if it was anger, they begin to fill themselves with peaceable life, scriptures on the peace of God that passes understanding, and gentleness. Thy gentleness has made me great. You know, spirits go back and they see that none of those things are in there. Well, they'll just bring on some other spirits, see? But see, you don't do that, see? You fill yourself. You have the capability to fill yourself up and not only just being all clean and swept and garnished, but you fill yourself up with the Word of God. You have that power to do that, okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So religious people are problems, and Christians who, you know, have demons are problems because the demons don't want to be exposed, don't want to be cast out. And again, anything they can do. And so if their host gets desperate and says, maybe I do have demons, maybe I do need to get deliverance, well, things begin to ever change. You know, I remember I threw out the book on deliverance I had when I was a newer Christian and in the ministry. I didn't believe it at the first that a Christian could have a demon, but I saw things in my life that weren't changing through prayer and fasting and everything I could do in the natural, right? Everything I thought that, you know, the Word said to do, and it weren't changing. So I got another book like that and began to read it and began to say, hey, I may have demons. I need to look at this a little closer. You know, it may be demons that are hindering my life and keeping me from being everything that I could be in God. And I began to see that there were demons, and I began to get deliverance, and it's gone on since then, ever since then, progressive deliverance through the years. And hey, I'm not totally delivered yet. It's progressive. Hey, there's things that remain to be discovered and rocks that remain to be uncovered. And so it's just a continuous thing until we go be with the Lord, because if we say that we have no sin, then we're liars and the truth is not in us, right? So, yeah, so we recognize if we still have sin, then we still have demons, and that's till Jesus comes. So it's progressive. You can't go and say, well, I got totally delivered in one session and I have no more demons. That's just not true. You might not have as many demons as you have, but you didn't get totally delivered because you're not ready to be totally delivered. Are you fully mature in Christ? Then you're not ready to get fully delivered. Are you an Enoch that can go be with God and caught away to be with God? Then you're not totally delivered. And he'd take you up to be with him if you were totally demon-free, right? I mean, come on. I mean, really, there's so much willful ignorance in the body of Christ about these things and so much wrong teaching about these things. So we got to get to the place where we really want to get deliverance, see? You know, people have to confront their devils and get out of agreement with them and their lies if they are ever to get free of them in their life, in this lifetime anyway. And as long as we all have these people, you know, teaching the lies that a Christian can't have a demon, demons feel somewhat empowered and somewhat safe by the teachings of these demons. In fact, it is a doctrine of demon to say that, actually. And the Bible says in the last days there'll be doctrines of demon. But Jesus said deliverance is the children's bread. I mean, it's pretty obvious. And Paul says, in my flesh dwells, meaning living entities, dwells no good thing. Duh. So, I mean, how many Christians really believe it? Really believe Jesus today? You know, you got to wonder sometimes. I mean, really believe Jesus? I mean, you sit there and put the Bible in your face and read it and not believe it? How we need to get rid of pride and embrace humility today. I mean, then we can see our true condition, and God could show us things that we couldn't see before. When there's a measure of pride, we're blind, right? Because God resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble, the scripture says. So, I mean, we could either do this the hard way or the easy way, right? And a lot of Christians are choosing it to do the hard way, the demon way, the pride way. That's the hard way, you know. And that a Christian can't have a demon, that's the hard way. The easy way is partake it of the children's bread, get rid of the weights and the sin that so easily beset you. I mean, no, that's sin. In Genesis, it says it's alive, it lieth at the door, and its desire is for you. Sin includes demonic entity. It's not just an abstract entity of sin out there. I mean, a non-entity of sin. No. The Bible clearly says in Genesis that sin lieth at the door, and its desire is for you. It's alive, okay? It's alive, and demons empower it or are attached to it and attempt to get in through it, okay? And its desire is for you. Notice that. It's here. Do you want that scripture reference? Genesis 4, verse 7. Okay, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire. Notice it's a his desire, not a feigned desire. You know, it's a it. It's a his. It's something alive. And thou shalt rule over him. Thou shalt rule over these demonic entities that are included in sin. Okay? Yeah, good evening. Yes, praise the Lord. So, it's time to move and live and walk in the power of the anointing of God, folks. Really, it's time. But many will not do it. Why would they not do it? Because they're not weak yet. They're not come to the end of themselves yet. They think they're still really something. You know, see, only when we're convinced, only when we're convinced of our weakness can we be strong. Jesus be strong in us. See, Paul had that revelation, but many believers have not, right? And once we're here, anything is possible from this point forward. What is that revelation that Paul had? In second, and of course, a lot of Christians teach this wrong, the thorn in the flesh, and they don't teach it right. They don't get it. They're obviously twisting and saying, oh, we just have to have this thorn in the flesh, this sickness, this disease, this trouble, and that's not what it's talking about at all here. Okay? But anyway, let's read it here. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weaknesses, that word infirmity, the weakness, by the way, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Okay? So, what's going on here? He says in verse 10, when I am weak, then am I strong. Okay? If we don't admit our own inability, if we don't come to the place where we lay down our pride and say that, Lord, without you, I'm nothing. See, when I'm weak, I'm strong. When I'm totally dependent on God, I'm strong. See, when you're weak in your own strength, then we can be strong in the Lord's strength, strong in the Lord and the power of his might. See, that's what this is all about here. Okay, because what was the thorn in the flesh? The Bible says the thorn in the flesh was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, okay, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure, lest the word of God gets exalted. It's not about keeping Paul humble. Come on, really? Is that what you think that's about? That's what a lot of Baptists are teaching and non-spirit-filled people that don't get it, even spirit-filled people teach that. Oh, it's just a sickness to keep you humble. God put a sickness on you. He gave you that thorn in the flesh. No, no, no. Thorn in the flesh, messenger of Satan, demonic entity, really? That came from God? God putting demonic entities on believers today? Is that what God is going around doing? That's not what it said he did in the New Testament there when he came on the earth. He said he went about healing the sick and casting out devils everywhere he went. So he's going around now putting thorns in the flesh on people, thorn in the flesh on people. Come on. That's just biblical ignorance to believe that, because that's not what this is saying at all. It was given to me. Well, who gave it to him? It wasn't Jesus, okay? And so it was a messenger of Satan to buffet me. God is not in the business of buffeting us, of causing us trouble like that. Does God buffet his child? You know, is that what God's doing to us? Beating on his children to buffet us? You know, come on. No. And he said, for this thing I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. You know, if God put it on him, why would he be beseeching the Lord for it to be taken out of him? And God said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. In other words, everything I gave you through the grace of God, everything I gave you through the grace of God is sufficient. What did I give you through the grace of God? I gave you authority over the devil. My grace is sufficient for you. Start walking in your authority. Don't ask me to get rid of your demons. You cast them out in Jesus' name, in other words. That's what he's telling us today. He said, in my name, you should cast out devils. That's what he's telling us to do, right? So this is all a big false religious teaching over the thorn in the flesh that God is putting that on you to buffet you and make you humble. That's not how we get humble. We get humble when we become totally dependent on God. See, when we're weak, we're not depending on ourselves anymore. We're depending on God. We're totally dependent on God, see? But yet religious demons get in there and twist things in the scripture just like they twist it and say a Christian can't have a demon, okay? A Christian can't have a demon. Oh, my. Well, yeah, so we just got to believe that, don't we? And see, just like in this thing, God is putting a thorn on you to buffet you. You want to know what buffet means? I'll tell you what buffet means. We'll just look it up, and I'll give you the meaning of it. Hallelujah. It takes me a little minute here to find it in the Greek words, okay? It means to strike with clenched hands, to buffet with the fist. You know, God is not doing that to his children. The Greek word kolophizo is buffet, and it means to strike under the eye, the part of the face below the eye, to beat the face black and blue. Is that what God does to his children? Come on, come on, come on, come on. Now, really, we got to be smarter than this, okay? We got to be smarter, you know. This is not God, what he does to children, hit you, knocking you around in the face, making you black and blue in the face. All right, we got to interpret this by the Spirit of God, okay? But anyway, I wasn't planning on spending so much time on that, but that's what the Greek word for buffet is there. I just looked it up in Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Word. Gives you the Greek word and then their English meaning. I've used the Vine's for many years. I also used the Strong's. Both of those will give you the meaning of the Hebrew words for the Old Testament and the Greek word for the New Testament. So those are good, steady sources to understand the words in your Bible. Okay? Hallelujah. All right. So moving on. Thank you, Jesus. How do we get there? How do we get strong in the Lord's strength? Well, in his presence. In his presence, you see him and his greatness. In his presence, you see him and you see how truly we are small in comparison to him. See, we still walk around as little big shots. We think we're big shots. You know, we still have so much pride. You know, so many Christians walking around thinking that we could do things to get by without God. No way. I mean, we call on him when we think we really need him. Man, I'm in a mess. I got myself in a mess. Oh, how could I do that? Well, God help me out of this one. You know? No. See, we need to get in his presence and recognize, you know, that we're weak. And when we make ourselves in the position of weak, then we become strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Sitting and laying at his feet is where we learn to hear his heart and distinguish his ways from our ways and the world's ways. So in his presence, at his fullness of joy, at his feet, we find more grace, mercy, revelation, knowledge, understanding. See, we gain that sitting at his feet. Amen? Let's go over to Luke 10:39. And we'll read here. Verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet hearing his word. But Martha, different story here. What about Martha? Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost not thou care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she also help me. I imagine she would get a little angry at her sister. She'd get a little angry. Mm-hmm. Look at that. Oh, what, Lord, just make my sister come and help me. We got to serve. We got to serve. We got to do this. And what did Jesus say? He answered, said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful, you know, worried, anxious, anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good thing. That good part which shall not be taken away from her. See, she chose the right thing. Martha, see, today if you're one of the millions of Christians or Marthas that are troubled and worried and cannot rest and relax, then you need to learn to be like Mary and sit at the feet of Jesus. Amen? We all need to learn that. And if we're not doing it already, like, hey, I sit at the feet of Jesus a lot. I'm telling you, every morning I start my days at the feet of Jesus. I cry out, God, I can't do nothing right apart from you. I can't accomplish anything apart from you. I'm weak. Lord, you be strong in me, and I'll walk in the power of your might today. I'll walk in the power of your strength today. See, I cry out to God. I know my frame. I know, you know, that I can just be another, you know, have another failing day apart from him. But with him, man, we're going to do exploits. We're going to be bold. We're going to conquer. We're going to walk in peace, joy, victory over all the power of the enemy. See? So listen, this is your key to freedom, folks. You sit at the feet of Jesus. Until then, you're going to continue to be, you know, stressed and tossed to and fro because you're incapable of coping with life unless you learn to sit at his feet. How many know that's why so many Christians are on mind meds today, and so many Christians are doing all these things like drinking and smoking weed and running to all these different activities. They get to in a performance mode, religious performance, anything to occupy, you know, not sitting at the feet of Jesus. See, religious spirits will come in and accommodate you. See, they don't want you sitting at the feet of Jesus. They'll make you busy all the time. They'll make you workaholic. They'll just keep you worrying all the time, stressed all the time. You know, they'll keep you all this stuff on your mind. See, and oh, but you need to be sitting at his feet. You need to learn to sit at his feet. See, everything will bother you. You'll blame others. You could even fall apart like many Christians have done. I've had Christians tell me they're having panic attacks. And just recently someone told me they were having a panic attack. And they do that because they've never learned to fully depend on Jesus, see? I can't count the numbers of Christians that I've had tell me that they've been having panic attacks. Really, should Christians be having panic attacks? They should be sitting at the feet of Jesus, drawing strength from above. See, they ought to get weak so they could be strong. See, they'd be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, sitting at his feet. See, that's where we need to be. You know, there's still a part of them that they depend on, like Martha. Martha, you know, basically was a Christian basket case. So are a lot of Christians today. Why? Because they've not learned to trust him fully and lay at his feet, knowing that he's going to take care of me. He's going to work out these things. If I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things that we have need of, that the world has need of, all this stuff, they're going to be added to me. They're going to be added to me. See, in his presence, at his feet, and abandon, you know, all else and just rest at the feet of Jesus. See, if you worry and in high anxiety and you're troubled all the time, this shows you have some Marthas in you operating, right? You have some of that Martha mentality, see? Perhaps some only a little Martha, but others a lot of Martha. It just depends on the person out there. I've met all kinds of Marthas, all levels of Marthas in Christians, okay? And you know, it is he himself, not our ministry, our goals, our so-called calling that must become the desires of our heart. It's Jesus, he himself, nothing else. I desire him above all. Amen. We need the Holy Spirit to come and expose us for what's really in us. Why is that? Well, without his help, we're deceived. And we can't even see ourselves and our own personal self-motivations because, you know, it says here, who can understand it? In Jeremiah 17:9, run over there real quick. Who can understand? Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. So the Lord knows, but we don't know. Only God, he can expose us to ourselves so we could be convicted, see? And a lot of Christians, they don't get convicted because they'll get themselves in the presence of God. How many know if you get in the presence of God, you get convicted, right? If there's some conviction about your condition, there's some conviction about the things that you've been, you know, sweeping under the carpet in your life, there's some convictions about the demons that are still there. See, God can expose us, and he can expose our demons, And so we need to find out what is within us and ask God to open us up to him. You know, we all still, you know, have a little bit of pride that still needs to go. Some people have a lot of pride that still needs to go. We all still have some pride and fit in somewhere between Matthew 5:8 and Proverbs 15:5, you know, which I hardly have time to read that now. I'm running out of time here. But you could read it for yourself if you want. But pride is the father of all sin, and it'll sabotage your relationship with the Lord quickly and with one another, too, believers with believers. And pride leads a person to unforgiveness. It opens us up to deception. If we walk around in pride, pride causes a person to yield to control and manipulation, their own control and manipulation as well as even others, but they are all spirits. So the Lord, you know, exposed us. We need him to expose us, the pride that's still within us, for it keeps us from that humility of Mary, who will just sit or lay at his feet. At the feet of Jesus, Lord, please expose us the pride that's still in us so that we can lay at your feet, Lord. Pride says, well, I just got things to do for you, Jesus. I'm real busy doing the work of the Lord. I'm working for you, Jesus. No, I'm not working for Jesus. I'm personally, I'm not working for Jesus. I'm working from Jesus. I'm working from his power, from his anointing, from his grace, right? See, I'm not working for him, because if I was working for him, I would be doing it for him, and I'm not. I'm doing it from him, because I can't do anything of my own self. Without him, I can do nothing, right? So we have to have the right perspective here. Oh, pride, I'm just living for you, Jesus. I'm just doing this for you, God. Oh, really? Well, maybe he doesn't need you to do it for God. Maybe he wants to do something through you, and you need to be living from him so you can do something from his anointing, from his power, from his grace. See, like Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do, right? So no wonder she was so frustrated, Martha. She thought all she was doing was for God. She's serving God. She's feeding him. She's doing stuff. But really, she was feeding a pride-filled ego, right? Not eagle, but ego. So no wonder she was a frustrated person. She was doing for herself, really. So a lot of what we do, we're really doing for ourselves. If we just really examine, you know, our motivations that are deep and sometimes covered by a lot of stuff. But if we really get that deep, you know. And so to stop the cycle of pride, we're going to have to embrace the facts that, number one, we're saved by grace. Number two, we stand by grace. Number three, we only truly live when we live from grace and by grace. And number four, we can only minister good when we minister from and by grace also. And number five, God's grace is the only bridge to the lost that works. And number six, we become what we are destined to be by grace, not by our works, okay? And number seven, humility is essential in remaining in God's grace, see? Okay? And notice 1 Peter 5:5 as we close out here. 1 Peter 5:5, going over there real quickly as I can get over there. All right, it says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Hey, all of you, be subject one to another, to be clothed with what? Pride? No, it doesn't say that, does it? It says, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Wow. Notice it says to clothe yourself with humility. That word also is bind yourself with humility. Bind yourself to humility and with humility, and clothe yourself with humility. See, this is God giving us a key to staying in grace. See, he told Paul, my grace is sufficient. Well, how do I stay in grace? When you're weak, you're strong. Humility. See, when you're totally dependent on God, you're weak, but he's strong. See, it's not my strength, his strength. I could do nothing without him. See, do you see that? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. See, God has given us the key to stay in grace. Pride will keep a person, you know, from walking in full grace, right? And in dependency. And of course, it'll also keep a person from getting deliverance that they should be getting, right? So it's very simple. Without humility, there's little or no grace. And if no humility, then what is the opposite of humility? Pride. See? There's no place for pride in the kingdom of God. You won't lay at Jesus' feet if pride has trapped you. If your ego is controlling you and you've got to keep pumping it up, you know, because there's that pride in there that causes you to do that, that spirit of pride and that agreement with it. And you might be too busy, I mean, you know, out trying to correct others to even notice your own prideful way of thinking and doing. See, you know, some people are so busy correcting everybody, they're God's little policemen's out there. They don't recognize what's in them, right? Oh, yeah. So your way is the right way if it's in pride, okay? So much of the purifying that's going on today in the church is to burn away the pride in all of us. See, pride in any form prevents the intimacy that Jesus desired with you and me. You know, we need that. And we need to want to dwell in the presence and be closer to him. Do you? You know, let him prune away the pride in your life. Even the Martha stuff, the Martha kind of pride, the Martha kind of anxiety, the Martha kind of stress, the cumbersome load that looks good, it looks right, but, you know, it's still self-ego and self-reliance instead of Jesus reliance, instead of total dependence on him. Will you just begin to lay at his feet every day? Will you? Lay at his feet. Will you cast these things on Jesus? Quit carrying the load. See, God, it's all yours. You're in charge, not me. I can't make anything happen. You know, I can pray and believe and see the results, but no more will I serve pride and selfish ambition. Will you pray that? I will live fully at your feet from your grace, Lord. Amen? Can you say that? Become weak, become God-dependent, so you'll be strong? You know, Mary went the easy way. Martha went the hard way. Both of them were saved. But which way do you want to go? You want to go the easy way or the hard way? See, you have a choice. And that's what we're talking about. There's the easy way. You could partake of the children's bread and get rid of stuff, or you can go the hard way and keep your demons all your life. That's a hard way. That's a hard way. I don't want to go that way. I've been getting rid of demons for years. Keep getting rid of them. Don't want any more. Yeah, amen. Lord, let us lay at your feet, Father. Every day, let us feast at your table. And part of laying at Jesus' feet is learning to love his word. Because his word is himself, you know. His word is himself. His word that he spoke on the pages of the book. That's him talking to us. That's revealing himself. That's laying at his feet if we receive those words. You know, many times I just read it out loud. You know, so many times I read the Bible out loud because it's just his words. And I'm soaking them in, as I lay at his feet in his presence. His word becoming life to me, life to those who find it, health to all their flesh. It's becoming my personal reality. He is becoming my personal reality, see, as I there feast on his word. See, that's what Mary, she laid at his feet in his presence. That his word brings his presence. I mean, know there's an anointing on his word. And where the anointing is, there, you know, his presence. And that anointing just flows out of, as you read those words out loud, they, wow. I just, this morning I read 8 chapters of the Bible. I just, and then I spend my time in prayer too, of course. It just came alive, you know. It just poured into me. It was just being at his feet, see. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for this word tonight. Thank you that we could be at your feet. Thank you that you touch our lives. Oh, yes. Thank you that we could choose like Mary, the important thing, the most important thing, that which is more important than you're running around like a chicken with the head cut off, Lord. No. We want to just be at your presence, be in your feet, be at your feet, Lord, and receive from heaven. In Jesus' name, thank you for this word, Lord. Let it be real to people as they hear. Let it be quickened by the Holy Spirit. We thank you for that. Thank you for your glory. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your deliverance. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We're going to do some deliverance now, Lord. We pray for the time and deliverance that you would just manifest your delivering power and that we could experience your presence here now in deliverance as well, Father, as we partake of the children's bread tonight. Amen. Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll be right back. We'll do some deliverance.
Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name, therefore will I deliver him. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, cause he has known my name, therefore will I deliver him. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee.
I will deliver thee.
Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee.
I will deliver
thee. And thou shalt glorify me. Call upon me and I will answer him.
Call upon me in the day of trouble,
I will deliver thee.
I will deliver thee.
Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee.
I will deliver thee.
And thou shalt glorify me. Thou shalt glorify me.
Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him.
Amen. Therefore, I will deliver you. And the Lord hasn't changed. He still will deliver you. So let's let him deliver us tonight. Amen. So let's work on all manner of pride here first off. And we'll work on family pride, religious pride, spiritual pride, all manner of pride. Let's just deal with the pride spirits here. Come out in Jesus' name. We're talking to you. We renounce pride in every form, pride in our own ability, pride in our family line, all pride spirits, pride in our job, pride in our profession, pride in our family, all this pride, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, 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 come out. All pride, you have to go. We come against the spirit of pride. We rebuke the spirit of pride tonight and tell it has to go right now. All pride, you have to go. All that pride, come up out of you. Come up out of you, all the way out of you. In Jesus' name, all that pride, you have to go. All the way out, all the way out. Little pride, big pride, come out. Pride, pride of accomplishment, come out. All that pride, go, 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 go. Come out, 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 come out. The pride that would tell you that sitting at the feet of Jesus is foolishness. You come out of there. Yeah, it's foolishness to demons, foolishness to the world, but not foolishness with God. Man counts a lot of things like foolishness, but they're not foolishness with God. come out of there, all the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out, 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 come out. Come on, pride of accomplishment, all pride. Go, all the way out. All the way up out of there. Go, in Jesus' name, come out. All those hindrances, hindering spirits, hindrances to humility, hindrances to total dependency on God. All those hindering spirits, you come out of there. The blockages, come out. Out, 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 out of there. All the way out. Those hindering spirits, come out. Come out, all the way out. All those hindrances to humility, come out right now. I command you to go in the name of Jesus. Hindrances to humility, come out, come out, come out, come out. All those hindrances to humility, we rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out of Jesus' name. Come out of Jesus' name. All the way in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus against you. Come out of there. All those hindrances to walking in humility. All those hindering spirits, I bind you. I break your hold. Come out. 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 Blockages. Blockages to, you know, things that just get in the way. You come out of there right now. They get in the way. They're time consuming. They try to distract in Jesus' name. Distract us from being at the feet of Jesus. Distraction from the word. Distraction from the things of God. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Worldly distractions, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come on out of there, all the way out. The blood of Jesus, you have to go right now. Keep coming out of there. Keep coming out of there. The blood of Jesus, come out. All those distractions, we rebuke the spirit of distraction. Come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Mind-wandering spirits that cause you, when you read the Word of God, your mind to just wander all over the place. If you get so little out of the Word of God because your mind is wandering all over the place, come out of there, that mind-wandering spirit. When you try to read the Bible, your mind wanders. Come out, 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 come out. Come out of there, that mind-wandering spirit. Go. In the name of Jesus, right now, loose them, and let them go. Loose them, come on, loose them, let them go. All those mind-wandering spirits, cause their minds to wander when they would pick up the Bible, spend time in His presence. You come out of there, those wandering spirits, go, 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 go. Mind-wandering, mind-wandering, lack of focus, can't focus, come out, come out. Inability to focus on the Word, inability to focus on God. So many wandering spirits, distracting spirits come try to keep your mind away from going in and being at His feet. Come out of there. Go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out. In Jesus' name. Go, go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. All those religious lie spirits that have set up a stronghold in your life, such as, oh, I must have a thorn in the flesh. I have to have a thorn in the flesh. God gave that thorn in the flesh. My thorn in the flesh is this sickness or this cancer or this problem or this whatever. God sent that to me. That's a religious lie spirit. Lying spirit, come out. Those lying spirits, go, go, go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out of there, all the way out, all the way up out of there. All those lying spirits, go in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Come out, lying religious spirit. That's distractions of the lying religious spirit that, oh, yes, God is just punishing you. That's why this is happening to you. God is punishing you. God is doing this to you. You deserve this. That's why this is happening. You know, God is doing this to you. You've been bad. You've sinned. You've messed up. See, wait a minute. This is the total opposite of the Word of God, right? Jesus bore the punishment for all our sins on the cross so that we wouldn't have to. What a liar that is, right? What a lying devil that is. You come out of there, those lying devils right now that lie to people, tell them, oh, well, this happened to you because God, you know, He's got to get even with you. He's got to punish you because you didn't walk close with Him, or you did this wrong, or you didn't obey Him. Come out right now, you lying religious devils, come out. Those lying spirits, come out. Liar, 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 come out. Come out. All those lying spirits, come out, 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 out of there. Every lie, come out. Every lie that lies to you about your circumstances and situation, come out of there right now. Come out of there right now. Oh, yeah, God is allowing this bad thing to happen to you on because it's God's doing. No, no, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God doesn't do that. That's a lie. That's a lying spirit. Come out, lying spirit. Come out, lying spirit. Come out of there all the way. All those lies about your health. Lie, well, you're suffering this because of this, because God. No, you come out of there. Lies, 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 lies. All these lies. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out, 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 all the way. The devil is the author of these sicknesses and diseases. God didn't put that on you. God didn't put that on you. It'd be contradictory in his nature if he put it on you and then he goes around healing the sick and yet he goes also around making people sick. He doesn't do that. No, no. That's not the way God is. Come out of there, all the way out. Come out, 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 come out. Come out of there. All those lies, those religious lies, all those lies of religion, all those lies of false teaching. Come out. Come out, 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 come out. Once saved, always saved, really? Well, I am saved, always saved, but I'm not planning on leaving Jesus. I still have the right to walk away from him and reject Jesus. So salvation is not just going to leave me, right? I'd have to leave salvation. You know, I can walk away, but I cannot lose my salvation. It's not something I just lose, right? That's a false doctrine, truth. So being able to be once saved, always saved is a false doctrine, and the ability to lose your salvation is a false doctrine, too. You don't lose it. You give it up. You can give up your salvation. You can't lose your salvation, okay? Because once you're saved, you don't lose it. You stay in it. If you have any sense at all, I'm never going to lose my salvation because I'm not going to give it up. I'd have to give it up to lose it. I'm not going to give it up, see? You give it up by, you know, renouncing the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit, cursing the Holy Spirit, tell him you don't want to be a Christian. You don't want to be saved anymore. You're not going to allow the Holy Spirit to live in you. And so that's the rejection of the Holy Spirit. You wouldn't do that, right? Come out of there, all the way out. Come out, come out, come out. All false religious doctrines, all false doctrine spirits, come out. Come out, 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 all the way out. Fear of losing your salvation, come out, all the way out. Fear that you've lost your salvation, come out. Fear that you could lose it, come out. That you might not go be with Jesus now. Come out of there, all the way out. Fear of losing your salvation. Come out, 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 come out. The spirit of embarrassment, you come out. Spirit of embarrassment, you come out, all the way out. Come on, you're embarrassed about witnessing. You're embarrassed about your relationship with God. Come out. All that embarrassment, come out. Spirit of embarrassment, embarrassed to pray in public, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come on, all that embarrassment, you got to go. Being embarrassed to share Jesus with anybody, embarrassed at what people think of you. If you let them know you're a believer in Jesus and afraid of persecution, fear of persecution, you come out. Fear of persecution, controlled by fear of persecution, come out. Come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out of there, all the way out, all the way up out of there, fear of persecution, gotta go, all the way out, fear of persecution, come out, spirit of fear, fear to lead somebody to the Lord, afraid they'll reject you, come out, 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 come out. Fear of rejection, fear that God rejects you, fear they're going to reject you if you witness, come out. Fear of rejection has to go right now. Loose them, let them go all the way out. Fear of rejection, in the name of Jesus, right now we rebuke the fear of rejection. Come out now, all the way out, all the way out. Fear of rejection, fear of being rejected, fear people won't like you, fear that people are going to turn against you, come out. Come out, come out, come out now, all the way out, up and out. All that fear of rejection, go, 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 come out, all the way out. All that fear that people are going to reject you, come out, all the way out, all the way out, the blood of Jesus against you, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. You got to go. Got to go. All anxiety and worry, come out. Anxiety, worry, all that anxiety and worry, you come out of there right now. Go. Go right now. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. The blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus against you, demons. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All that anxiety, the worry, the fear, fear of the future, fear of for your children, the fear for different things, your finances, not going to have enough. Come on, remember, God take care of the sparrows. He's going to take care of you. That's right. He's going to provide. Come out of there right now in Jesus' name. Come out of there. Come out of there, that fear, that anxiety, that stress, that panic attacks. Come out, 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 come out. Panic spirits, come out. Panic spirits, come out, 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 come out. Come out of there, all the way out. All the way up out of there, go. All the way out, come out. Panic spirits, come out, come out. Come out. We break the curse of lack and never enough over you. Right now, we break the curse of lack, not having enough. Come out right now. The curse of lack. Curse of lack. The spirits that get in there and make you have lack, that make rob you, steal you. Come on. Steal from you. That's what the devil does. He steals, kills, and destroys. So he's robbing your finances so you don't have enough to pay your bills, to get by, to get ahead. Come out of there, all the way out. Come out. Come out. Those robbing spirits, those thieving spirits that rob your money, rob you from blessings. Come out. Try to block the blessings, keep you from being blessed, keep you from having more than enough. Come out. 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 Remember, the Bible says, and was it Philippians? My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by one Christ Jesus. That's a promise, folks. God's going to supply. He knows what you have need of. He knows what you're facing in your financial situation. You come out of there. Go, go. Those spirits of lack, those spirits of poverty, those spirits of bondage to debt and getting it over your head in debt. Come out. 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 Come out of there. All the way out. All the way out of there. Go, 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 go. Yes, keep coming out. My God shall supply. Your God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by one Christ Jesus, by Christ Jesus. That's right. Philippians 4:19. Keep coming out of there. All the way out. Lack, poverty, mammon spirit, controlled by mammon instead of by the Holy Spirit. See, you know, I'm living in God's financial system. I'm not living in the devil's financial system, okay? All right, so God said, you know, certain things about our financial situations, and we believe those things instead of what the world says, what the devil says, what the spirit of mammon says, right? The money god of the world, come out of there. Go, go, go. Controlled by mammon. We break its control right now. In the name of Jesus, we break the control of mammon over your finances. We break the control of mammon over your finances right now. In Jesus' name, come out of them. Come out. All the way out. All that mammon spirit. All that mammon spirit. All that spirit is not enough. Never enough. Come out. Come out. Come out. Can't pay the bills. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Poverty curse. Generational poverty curse. We break it to the 10th generation right now. Right now, in Jesus' name, go, 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 all the way out, all the way out, go, in Jesus' name, go. Spirits have to go. We break your power, we break your control. You got to get out, 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 all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Keep going, keep going, keep going. The double-minded spirit, you come out of there. Double-minded, in Jesus' name, come out of there with one mind. You're trying to make everything work for yourself, and the other mind, you're trying to believe God. Well, don't be double-minded. The Bible tells us to be single-minded, to be single-minded. That's right. A double-minded person gets unstable. See, The Bible says they're unstable in all their ways. And you start walking in that double-mindedness, you put yourself in a position of instability. So we break the curse of instability, the unstable spirit. Command that to come out of there from walking in double-mindedness. You pick it up, come out of there, all the way out. The unstableness, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Instability, come out, 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 come out. Come out of there. Go, go, go. All that instability, all the way out, all the way out, all the way up, out of there. Go in the name of Jesus right now. Loose the people. Let them go. Loose the people. Let them go. The blood of Jesus, that double-mindedness. Go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way out. I mean, that's pretty serious. When you walk in a double mind and it's unstable, it creates instability in all our ways, not just one of our ways. That's what it says in James, that in all our ways we get into instability. So we need to just declare it with our own mouth. I am single-minded. I'm not double-minded. And I break the curse of double-mindedness right now over myself. And I refuse to walk as a double-minded person anymore. So you make that declaration over yourself and begin to keep saying that until you walk single-minded, because we're to set our face like a flint. We're to be single-minded, not double-minded. Amen. Keep coming out of there, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, all double-mindedness. Go, 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 go. Come out, 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 come all the way out. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we are talking to you, devil. You have to obey. Be weakened by the blood of Jesus right now. Be weakened by the blood and go. You've lost your house. You're not cozy anymore. You have to go. That's not your house. We are not your house, devils. You know that. Yeah, we declare it. We announce it to you. Yeah, this is our house. This is the house of God. This is not your house, not the devil's house. You have to leave in Jesus' name, every one of you, every one of you. All the way out. Any spirit of hatred, you come out. It rises up. A spirit of hatred, rises up. Hatred for women, hatred for men, hatred for particular women or particular men. You come out of there right now. Go, 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 go. All that hatred, come out. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke the spirit of hatred in Jesus' name. You have to go. You have to go all the way out. All spirit of hatred, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for the time we've had together, Lord. Praise your name. You are good, and your mercies endure forever. Thank you for that. And so, Lord, we thank you for the time we've had together, and we ask you to seal this deliverance that people have had tonight, Father, to them, that they'll keep what they got. Be able to walk in it, keep what they got, and not let the devil steal it from them or come back in. We thank you for change in our life, Father, by the Spirit of God working in us, Lord. Thank you for the good work of grace in each of us until that day of Jesus Christ. You're working in us, changing us, molding us, making us, framing us, Lord, making us everything you want us to be. Thank you for that, Lord. And thank you for, Lord, the time we've had together tonight, and bless each one that listens, each one that's here now, live tonight, listening. Lord, we thank you for a blessing on their lives and direction for them, instruction by the Holy Spirit, that, Lord, you reveal to them the things they need to know, Father, that they may have questions, they may have desires that have been unmet. So, Father, we ask you to minister to them in those areas in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless you in Jesus' name. And bless the people here, too, in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. All right. Well, we run out of time again. The night is gone here for this broadcast. So thank you for being here. Appreciate y'all. And y'all have a blessed weekend this weekend. And the Lord be with you and keep you in health. Amen. And thank you. And the Lord be encouraging to you too as well. All right. So we will see you next Friday night. And right now we're going to play a song here and say goodbye. are at the latter moments here. So time to go bye-bye. I remember one time that I was working for a company right before. Well, I may have been in the ministry at that time, but I wasn't full-time. I was still working a secular job. I think I did that for a little while in the first few years of pastoring. But anyway, I had this, the company gave me expense money. I may have shared this once way back. I'm not sure, but I don't remember if I did or didn't. But I was sent out with, I think, $3,000 in cash expense money, you know, to live on while I was out doing the work for the company, traveling these different places. And so I put that money in my Bible, and I, you know, I always took my Bible with me, but this time I had laid it on top of the car, my Bible, and forgot to put it in the car. So I took off down the road, and evidently the Bible blew off somewhere. And I said, oh, my Lord, I've lost the $3,000. I don't have $3,000 to pay the company back. What am I going to do, right? So, Lord, would you please return that money? It's not my money. It belonged to the company that I was working for at the time. And so I called and reported it, and the police said, hey, we have a Bible here. You can describe that. I mean, we have something. We have the Bible here. Describe it and all that. And I went and got it. I believe that's how it went. I remember all the details, but and the money was still intact. Whoever turned it in did not take any of the cash. And so, listen, the Lord took care of that. He take care of you. I know there's some of you asking for some things that are not wrong to ask for. And you know, if He does that for me, what's He going to do for you? I mean, there's no partiality with God. What He'll do for one, He'll do for another. So don't lose faith. Don't lose courage. You know, that was a miracle, because most people would take the $3,000. And I remember one time I did have a Bible that was stolen, but I figured maybe the people that stole it needed it more than I did. I don't know, but it was in my car, and I had a Bible inside my car one time, and somebody stole that Bible. And that was my precious Bible. I figured, well, they stole the Bible. They must need what's inside that word, because I'd underlined a lot of scriptures, and that was many, many years ago as a new Christian. I was already into underlining scriptures, lots of them. And so somebody got that Bible. I never saw that Bible back, but God has replaced it many times over, because, you know, He always provides what the devil steals, right, that you get back, the thief be found. But, you know, I think it, too, that God used that Bible somehow. You never know what God does. You know, a lot of things that you don't know the answer to right now, but you're going to know it in eternity, right? Amen. God will reveal a lot of things, and you say, wow, I never would have thought that. And Jesus will tell you what happened, certain thing that you may have said or done or been involved in, and was a God thing. And you might not have ever thought again about it. Amen. Amen. So don't think that, you know, that everything was without purpose and that nothing happened from it, because a lot of things you'll have revealed later, and you can rejoice in eternity about it. Amen. All right. Well, God bless you. Good night. And we're going to sign out now.